Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Like okay. The Brits
not
say
Americans,
crumpets,
not abandoned.
And
that
we
would
say
be weird.
Muffins. We just make it sound like shit.
No, that crumpet is completely different.
But, I don't agree.
You know, be cool.
I don't agree.
Crumpets and muffins are super different. Recently, I Googled it.
They say toffee and we say coffee.
That's completely different.
See, they class it up a little bit.
I find. Nope. Very different.
Nope. Yeah.
Okay. Those are different things, baby.
You guys can work it out later.
They don't tell you. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, my name is Steve fucking Green.
Wow, you just really
I'm saying
that.
A swear word.
Yeah, because we were just talking about that before.
Well, we were talking about how
we introed, yeah. We're joined today
by Jess and Steph. And
from How to Live.
But mostly from Australia.
Mostly from Australia.
From both.
It's apparent when you talk. I'm like, when I hear you, I don't hear How to Live. I hear Australia.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So that must be what we are more.
Yes.
And they were telling us that Americans don't like to swear as much as Australians.
And I was like, you're about to hear the most F-bombs in a podcast ever recorded.
A swear word because sometimes people from the UK are like, bloody bloke or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like
that
bugger.
Doesn't sound like swear words to us.
No. I'm talking like the good old-fashioned shit. Fuck, poo, that kind of stuff.
Right. Poo is a cuss word? Okay.
Like, to I just feel like in my experience traveling here, like when we swear just like in our daily, people are a little bit taken aback.
Like they just flinch a little. Whereas like on our podcast, we're just like people will swear and they'll be like, oh, so sorry. And we'll be like, oh no, fucking go for it.
Maybe you put it in a different part of the sentence than we do. And so we're just like taken aback by the part.
Maybe.
Maybe you should stop having a bunch of buckle shoes wearing pilgrims on your podcast. You know what I mean? Next time.
Maybe they're just taken aback by the fact we look like twins, and that's what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So it's got nothing to do with
it. We're not actually twins.
We're not twins.
If you're not watching this, they look like twins, but they're not twins.
And they sound like twins,
and then they humiliate you for calling them twins, which I did.
So what I said was that, like, I think we think they're twins because they sound the same, because to us they sound the same because they have Australian accents.
Yeah. Yes.
But they probably don't sound the same if you're in Australia.
But we do look the same
and
in Australia. That one's
even
out across continents.
I think you probably
yeah.
look the opposite in Australia.
Oh, actually. Because it's upside down there,
well,
you know, so everything's different.
And the toilet goes the other way, I heard.
We heard that too, I don't know.
I think The Simpsons, or like one of those,
yeah,
right?
But yeah.
It flushes the other way, right?
I think so. We haven't tested the theory.
Maybe
we can do it next time
and
let you know.
Testing the theory, can you close your eyes for me? Imagine you just used the toilet and you did whatever you want. Keep that to yourself. But I would like to know, but keep it to yourself. It's fine.
Okay. I think
now
it just
you flush the
bubbles
toilet.
Up in Australia. Like it doesn't go in a direction.
Yeah.
What?
It
we
just
have
like,
different
it
toilet
just like
goes, you guys.
It just goes up a bit and then like flushes down.
So you know how you guys have like really big toilet bowls?
We
like
do.
They're quite large.
We don't have that.
Little,
like, a lot of shit.
There's just like a little bit of water in the bottom. Maybe that's it.
I think it's that you have big
We're
bums.
Fatter people.
Yeah, like True. They're really round. Whereas like ours are just like kind of like deeper.
With a little bit of water.
You don't
got
a Kardashian butt over there in Australia?
Maybe. Maybe they struggle without toilets.
They would. Kim would get stuck.
So you are fashion entrepreneurs. You started your blog in what, like 2012?
Yeah. Forever ago now. Like,
and how did that start?
I was moving to Paris for 6 months and we were going to be across the world. And we just like heard about this kind of blog thing that a few people were doing. And we're like, this would be cool. Like, let's just start a blog. Let's start writing to each other every day. We can share what we're eating, what we're wearing, whatever we're doing on this kind of open diary.
Yeah, it was like a every day one of us would log on and be like, hey, Steph, this is what I'm doing today. And like post a photo of my outfit. Steph was living in Paris. I was still like studying at university, so like my life was super boring and hers was super fun.
So you say super boring, but then us in America are like, you live in Australia, that's exotic.
I'm like, you probably almost die every single day from
it was
spiders
like
and wolf spiders and horse
and
spiders,
like snakes.
Don't forget snakes.
Yeah,
we Dingos. Travel around on kangaroos, like
kangaroos.
In their pouches. That's how we get places.
Yep, that's what I hear.
We don't have cars yet.
That's what I've heard. That's what all the blogs say.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you started that way, and then where did it go from there?
From there, it kind of like, you know, we started to get this readership really quickly, and we're like, oh, that's cool. Like, people are reading this blog too. And then
like reading your diary.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But what makes you go, I'm good at fashion?
We just liked fashion. Like, I guess other people saying it more. Like, we just liked clothes, you know? But and then other people liked what we were wearing too. So it was like, oh, I guess
you
we're good at this.
You were an influencer before the influencer thing started.
Well, it was very small scale in the beginning. Like, in the beginning, like, five people were reading our blog, and like, two of them were probably us, and one of them mom. But then it was like, my university holidays like perfectly coincided with like Paris Fashion Week. So this was like 3 months into the blog, no one was reading it, and so we were like, we're going to Paris Fashion Week, and I just was like really just going to visit my sister on her like epic trip. And then like we actually got discovered on the streets of Paris Fashion Week by this magazine editor, and she just really liked our style, so she came up to us. She worked for like one of the big magazines, Grazia UK at the time, and just ended up printing this like 3-page spread about us and what we were doing and how we were like these amazing twins in fashion.
They called you twins?
Just embrace it.
Definitely called us
just
twins.
See,
definitely
you didn't care about that,
twins.
Did you?
Let us live
you
the
dream.
Didn't
correct that, did you?
Did they call us twins or did they say we were twinning? Because at the time, we were kind of just like wearing matchy-matchy outfits, which you can see we always end up doing.
They're constantly tricking.
Yeah, but isn't twinning Charlie Sheen bragging about how he fucked twins? I don't think you want to be
twins. I think Charlie Sheen is winning.
No, but he was saying twinning if you're fucking twins.
I think that's what I think twinning is.
Just to be careful.
In fashion, that is not what twinning is. It's just about dressing alike.
My bad. Got it. Good.
Sometimes Steve twins with me without thinking about it. He just like sees, because I'll get dressed first and then he'll wear the same outfit and I'm like, you copied me.
Wait,
and
what are you talking about?
Like when I, like you come down the stairs after I already got dressed.
Oh, we're wearing the same colors.
Yeah, well,
not the same outfit.
I mean, of course.
I'm not wearing a blouse.
Well, yeah, you're not shopping at Madewell because you have poor taste, but like you are wearing like the same color shirt.
You dressed
and then
me.
but not back then. I don't know, pineapple
How do you guys
shirts.
Think I'm dressed? Do you think I'm dressed well?
Yeah, you look pretty good.
Yeah, you look good.
I
like the denim shirt.
There you go.
My wife did it.
Mm-hmm.
She's got good taste.
Thank you. Yeah, I picked both of our outfits today.
Can I say good for you for having a wrinkled shirt? Because I like to have wrinkled shit. No. It's fashionable.
It's called style. It's crushed linen, mate.
So many people hate on me because.
Wait, also, I'm living out of a suitcase right now. Give me a fucking break.
Okay, this is a podcast, not a video.
You're a fashion person. Wherever you go, people are going to be like, hey, wait, okay, what's she wearing? I was saying good for you.
Do you know what?
Thank you.
I steamed a whole silk skirt yesterday before I went to JK. And then it was wrinkled by the time I got there because I was in traffic for an hour and a half. And by the time I got there, it was like I never even steamed
that
it.
That sucks.
He says don't get that
what
kind
I
of
do
excuse.
That?
No,
that
you
sucks.
Know what? As an adult, I really never learned how to iron. Like, I feel like that's
I
my one thing.
Ironing.
As long as it's clean, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get the wrinkles
out. Do you do the dryer
out.
Trick? Where you just get it, like sprinkle it a little bit.
I rarely dry.
What's the dryer
I feel
trick?
Like,
I know you don't know the dryer trick. No, I'm kidding.
If you don't want to iron, you just take your our article of clothing, you throw it in the dryer, you sprinkle a little bit of water on there, and you put it in the dryer for like 10 minutes.
Shut.
Comes out.
How do I not know about this? The only trick that I know is when you like hang it up in the shower, but that really never works.
It never works.
I do use a steamer.
No, it doesn't.
For like things I care about. Like if it's like a long dress, like that people will like notice wrinkles in, I'll steam it, but I don't like to.
I was at Urban Outfitters. I saw pre-wrinkled jeans and shirts, and I was like, finally, I have arrived.
Wait, it's
I'm
like,
always wrinkled.
It's like those sneakers that are like pre-dirty when you buy them. Yes. Like, I don't get that trend. I will never get on that trend. It's like, I can dirty them myself after I buy them. I don't need someone else to do that for me.
I'm with you on sneakers. That inexcusable.
Yeah.
Shirts, though, please pre-wrinkle them and dirty them because I look like a working man.
What about jeans with holes in them? Because I buy those.
Mm.
Yeah, but then
those.
I find that like when they're pre-holed, then the holes just get bigger and bigger, and then they become unwearable too quickly.
That's so true.
Or
so
do
true.
They become more wearable because people are like, oh, I see more things that you're hiding, typically.
Maybe for
more
a girl.
More dresses.
Maybe for a chick, not for dudes. People are like, please stop it.
Also the gift that keeps giving.
Also true.
Because see, when sometimes she wears these sexy jeans that I can see the pockets through it, and I can see her legs and upper legs, and I'm like, yeah, I'm into this. But then I'm like, wait, I don't want other people to see this shit.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You're possessive. That's
oh,
what
yeah,
called.
Extremely. And insecure, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so you started this blog and about fashion, and it started evolving, and you're like, oh, people are really digging our outfits. Let's just like go full force in them. Because you also started a shoe company, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called
Do you want to tell the story or should
I? Sure, I can tell the story. Well, so after that Paris Fashion Week moment when like this article got written about us, it ended up getting printed all over the world. And so suddenly people were like, oh my God, you have this massive blog. And
they were like, they're doing so well. And we were like, we weren't until that article. We weren't doing anything.
Which I feel like sums up a lot of things for us is just like, fake it till you make it is definitely our motto.
You have like an old like 1950s story of being discovered. Like, I saw them on the street.
To be fair, we missed out the part where it involved a lot of hustling because like we were at Paris Fashion Week purely like, either we like harassed people, like emailed as many PR agencies as we could find until someone gave us tickets to like two shows. And then all the other shows, we weren't actually invited. We honestly
just we'd dress up. We would put on our outfits and we would go to the shows and we would just hang out outside.
What kind of outfit would you say you're like, this is going to get me in?
We didn't want to get in. That wasn't the point. We just wanted to look like we were there so we could mingle with the people who were going to print the articles.
And then there were like walls of people taking photos. We didn't know this. And they were like, oh, these girls are on their way into the shows. They'd take a bunch of photos. And then we'd have this awkward moment where we were like, okay, run away.
And we'd just like scurry away in these really like bright outfits that drew a lot of attention and they probably all noticed. But so that kind of happened. And then like pretty quickly, I'd say within like 3 months or something, then it kind of became our full time. And we were like working with brands and people were like approaching us to like be in their campaigns and style their campaigns. And then quite quickly we started to get asked to like design things for brands, like to collaborate on something. So it was like, you put your aesthetic on our thing and then we can sell it together and you can have like part of the
profits. Love those things. That's so cool. Like the makeup palettes that people are beauty gurus do.
Yeah, exactly. Like now it's happening a lot. Then it was like pretty
then,
free.
It's a family.
And we got approached by like this big shoe company in Australia called Winsor Smith. And they were like, everyone was wearing these shoes at the time. And they were like, hey, you want to design a line of shoes? And it was literally just like they invited us over and asked us a question. And they were like, cool. What do you reckon? What colors? What styles? Okay, done. Like it was the easiest thing.
It was like a
1 hour
meeting.
It had like an Anne Hathaway story. Of like falling into becoming successful in a fashion career.
We fake it a lot. Like when we walked into that meeting where we were designing shoes, we thought that we were just meeting with them to say hi. And then when we got in, they were like, yeah, so we want you to design a line right now. And we were like,
and you look at each other like, okay, whatever.
Cool.
Can you picture like Anne Hathaway and like Princess Diaries?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Oh, I'm a princess? Okay. And everyone's just like, Madame, pick out your shoes.
Yeah, you're right. We're so Anne Hathaway.
We'll take
now
it.
I think about it.
Take it.
Yes.
At least if you don't take it, fake it. Fake that you're taking it.
Yeah. We'll fake it.
Take it till you make it.
Perfect.
Take to fake. And then after we did that and then they sold out really quickly, we were like, sweet, that was so easy. That was like the easiest thing ever. We just did work for an hour and then we sold out shoes. We could do this.
Yeah, we were like, we know how to design shoes.
We're like,
we picked colors and everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like, this is so easy.
We don't have any prior design experience or know how to run a brand, but this is something that we should definitely do.
Awesome. Thank you for talking this way. So many people come in here with their foot up their own asses and they're like, "Oh, darling, I simply went in there and I had a vision. I closed my eyes and I said, these shoes."
Oh, hell no. No, like, no. Still to this day, like, everything we do, we hustle so bloody hard for. Like, we're, you know, in the U.S.
We get
doing...
scrappy. That's, like, our tagline. Totally. That we're gave ourselves.
And we're in the U.S. at the moment doing podcast interviews. And, like, we just rock up here and we, like, literally, I think we've sent 500 emails. No exaggeration. To, like, the biggest celebrities you can think of. Like, wow. To Oprah.
Oh, that's
to
awesome.
Julia Roberts. Like, can you be on our podcast?
To shit they don't tell you, you know? Like, yeah, the hugest celebrities. The biggest ones.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and then like a bunch of people said no, like a gazillion people. Always,
you have to get
Oprah
all the
said
notes.
No, but
Oprah
we were
said
so
no?
Yeah, but Oprah responded like
oh,
when Oprah's people
no,
respond
Oprah's
to you.
People,
well,
yeah,
not
okay.
Like Oprah.
Not
that's still pretty
Oprah.
Cool. You know, like
not
you think that maybe
herself.
She does respond, but like it has to be like looking like it's her people.
She's pretending
she's
to be her assistant.
Yeah.
Oh,
we've done that.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've
all done
so
that
so many times.
Oh yeah, Oprah's totally doing that.
Yeah.
Just for shits and gigs.
I think so, right? She's got to be bored as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Fun for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then we... Where were we?
Yeah,
we were designing
a line
of shoes.
We thought we were the shit.
So, yeah, we just decided to start this shoe brand. We wanted to have the word two in it because our blog was called How To Live.
Mm-hmm.
So
to the
like,
number.
Two, yeah,
to
T-W-O.
Listening out there.
And then we came up with this name, Tubes, T-W-O-O-B-S.
We made it up.
And we were like, how cool would it be if the shoes came in tubes, like tubes?
Oh.
Yeah.
All these puns.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Steve Jobsian kind of thing. You're just taking the same thing that everyone knows and you're just repackaging it differently.
Yeah, except when Steve Jobs did it, it was really clever. And then when we did it, we were like, oh, this is terrible. Shoes come in boxes for a reason. And it did not work. And we got rid of it in like within the first 6 months.
But
and
luckily, then, like the product was awesome. So
good,
like for
good.
Us,
totally.
We were like,
packaging bad.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, like
it
luckily
it worked. You know,
people like, yeah, I had to scrape my shoe out with a fucking butter knife. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like super comfy. Like we love the fashion element of things, but we are not down with being uncomfortable. You know, like we're not the kind of people who want to be walking around in heels all day.
No,
with band-aids on your feet, not a good look. Is that what you call them here? Band-aids.
We do call them band-aids.
Plasters.
I thought you called them
bandages and band-aids.
Oh,
band-aids.
Wait, would you think we called them?
Plasters. I thought you called them plasters.
Maybe that's the
plasters.
Plasters.
Wait,
right,
like, so you get a cut,
the
and then you put something on it. What do you
a
put
Band-Aid.
On it?
A Band-Aid.
Let me tell you about America. If it
Wait,
sounds smart, that's not how
plasters?
We say it.
Plasters. Plasters. Like P-L-A-S-T-E-R-S.
That
like
sounds
plasters.
Too smart for us.
I've literally never heard that in my life.
Oh, funny.
It must be the UK.
Because we call it different
like,
things.
Like, I say that when I get really drunk. I'm like, I got plastered last night.
But oh, yeah, sure. You got plastered. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we say that too.
Like okay. The Brits
not
say
Americans.
Crumpets,
not a Band-Aid.
And
that
we
would
say
be weird.
Muffins. We just make it sound like shit.
No, that crumpet is completely different. But,
I don't agree.
You know, be cool.
I don't agree.
Crumpets and muffins are super different. Recently, I Googled
me.
It.
They say toffee and we say coffee.
That's completely different.
See,
not
they
good
class
time,
it
not
up a little
things.
Bit.
No,
very different.
No,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are different things, baby. Yeah.
You guys can work it out later.
Yeah.
They say buggy, we say
won't.
Cars. You know what I mean? They class it up.
Okay. Anyway, the shoe brand.
The shoes.
You're into comfort.
Yes.
Very
yes.
Comfortable. So fashion and comfort and also massive animal lovers. And we were like, why are all these animals dying to make people's
the
shoes?
Leather.
So
because alligators
really
are really nice.
To-
Yes,
I will
but
say,
yeah,
alligators
but you
so
can get,
so
you can
actual
get
live
fake
alligators.
Alligator, and
it
then
doesn't look the same.
It does.
I've tried.
He's trolling.
It touched.
I'm not trolling.
It feels the same.
Okay.
It looks the same.
Let me ask you this: have you ever put on a fresh alligator belt and you're like, "How about
no.
this feeling?"
Have
Where's
you?
Jessica's bag? I feel like it's your bag is vegan alligator right now.
Oh, you I left can, it in the car.
But you can feel the energy of that scared animal.
Exactly.
In the leather.
Why do you
exactly.
want to feel that?
Well, no, but. There's an energy like
Everything
a kinetic energy.
Everything you're saying right
it.
Now is why I don't like it.
Oh, see, that's why I like it.
He loves
you ever,
it.
Have
Can't
you put
change
on a,
the man.
I'll change your mind. Have you ever put on a fresh mink coat?
No.
What a feeling.
No.
Oh, okay.
Mate, did you do any research? We're animal lovers.
No. Okay, squirrel. Surely you've worn squirrel.
Squirrels are so cute. Everything you say, I'm like, I totally agree. But
and
when they're live,
aren't they
you know,
cuter
like,
as a handbag?
No.
No. Okay.
No, they
cuter
when they can like eat little nuts.
We won't stray.
You can stitch them together and make a pretty big handbag. I think.
Or you could just bring them all together and give them a good cuddle.
Are in right now.
Yeah. Oh, you hug them?
Yeah, when they're live.
I think that they wouldn't like that so much, but that's what I heard.
My cat, my cat's a scarf a lot of times, or he thinks he is.
Oh, you have a cat.
Yeah, I have two cats, but the other one, we don't really count them. So the one that I love, he is
Aww.
Always like on our shoulders and he like begs to be on our shoulders. So
we only love
we condone live animal fashion. That's okay.
You could be my scarf.
The one that we don't like will be shoes one day, I will say.
We threaten him all the time. We tell him, we're like, we don't love you as much.
We're going to eat you. We're going to eat you one day.
If it's of natural causes, then I don't know how I feel about it. We can reassess at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I've been talking about. A natural causes mink coat. Have you ever worn that?
No. No.
All right. I'll convert you.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Doubt it.
So you're able to make shoes without like leather and suede and all of that.
Yeah. Well, at the time when we were kind of doing it, like we started probably about 3.5 years ago, and it was like pretty groundbreaking. But I don't know about the US, but in Australia now, like vegan fashion is like the biggest thing. Like everyone's asking
for it. What about Uggs?
We're just learning
about the
food. Uggs
is a huge Australian brand. How about what are they doing? Because I hear things in the news all the time about like their practices, and then they have to apologize for things.
I'm not 100% sure about Uggs, but recently it was my birthday and I don't buy animal products, and I needed a new pair of Ugg boots because when I got my last ones like 6 or 7 years ago, I was buying animal. But recently I got these really great pair of vegan Ugg boots. They're an American brand, but I can't remember what they're called.
No, neither.
But they're just as good.
Google vegan American Uggs.
Yeah.
What about an animal that was mean?
No.
Okay. I'm just trying to.
They kind of deserved it,
right? If they're mean, like how mean are alligators? I will say, just try
why
that again.
Why are they mean?
Have you ever heard about them eating people's dogs and stuff?
So the kid that got eaten by an alligator at Disneyland part at the Disneyland hotel.
If he was a shoe,
it was captivity. If I put you in a box, you probably
provoked. The kid was trying to get a pretzel.
But they killed him anyway. So, okay, now you have dead alligator. Yeah. Do you just dump the body or do
a handbag?
Yeah, you could bury it. Give it a nice little funeral.
You could say a eulogy.
That's going to the ants anyway.
What about your skin?
What about it?
What if we met?
I'll donate to science. No problem. Okay. But when I'm done with it.
But will you donate to fashion?
And if I did something bad, then sure. Make me a handbag.
I'm sure an alligator wouldn't mind being donated to science.
I don't think a human handbag would be that nice.
No, probably not. Especially not my skin. Let's be real.
Yeah. But so what are your shoes made out of? Let's go that direction.
They're made out of lycra, so like the swimming kind of material. I'm actually wearing some right now.
Oh, let's show
I'm wearing
off.
Some as well.
There you go.
Oh, nice. Like my shoes. I wear these shoes like every day that are, they're the same material. If you look at my Instagram, the platform ones, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't. She's lying.
We make platform ones too.
I will buy them.
Okay. Well,
amazing.
You don't have to buy them.
Hell yeah. I got the hookup. No more alligator
skin. Isn't that why we're invited? Free shoes?
Yes.
No more alligator boots for you.
No more alligators. Kidding. We don't wear alligators.
She doesn't.
Or tortoiseshell things. Like I don't know if they actually make sunglasses out of actual tortoiseshells.
No, it's just to describe the material.
Okay, I stopped buying tortoiseshell sunglasses because I wasn't sure.
No way.
See,
I don't even know.
I pay extra for the ones that are made out of tortoiseshells.
Actual tortoiseshells.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But only if they're sea tortoises.
Right. You got the ones that died from the plastic straws.
Yeah. I like the land ones. They're one of my favorite animals because they're the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But only teenager ones.
Yeah, the teenager ones. I don't care about the young ninjas. Ones. Or the old ones either.
Yeah, the elder ones they're up for grabs.
I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Now that we got that settled.
Yeah, so we have these awesome shoes that we were going to launch. It took us probably like 2 years to get to the point where we were like actually had a workable product.
Because as mentioned, we didn't really know what we were doing.
So we thought it was going to be super easy, and then turns out shoes are like one of the hardest products to actually design because they have to fit a foot really well and
I'd be like, how hard could it be to do a shoe?
I guess exactly. Very technical.
Yeah. Right. The only reason I would think about that is because like if it was easy, every influencer, YouTuber person would be doing it.
True. Yeah. Well,
that's what we kind of think, that we're like, it was hard in the beginning, but now we kind of have a leg up because it's very hard to break into.
Foot up.
We sure do.
Nice. And we thought, you know, we're never the kind of people that just do things the regular way. So we really wanted to like create a splash and launch the brand in this awesome way that people were just going to like remember and speak about. So we were actually going to New York Fashion Week. We were invited that time because this was like a few years into it. And we decided to launch the shoes at New York Fashion Week. But like that can cost $1 million for the brand, you know, like that's
literally a million dollars. Like it's crazy expensive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we were like, we're not going to go the regular route and do like a proper show. But we were like, we knew from going to Fashion Weeks before that there is like this wall of photographers and they wait outside the shows to like take people's photos as they're walking in and out. But between shows, they don't really have anything to do. So they're just kind of standing around. And we were like, how could we like capitalize on those photographers and launch our shoes?
That's so smart.
Yeah. So it was like, so it was February. So it was like so cold in New York and we were launching sandals. So we were like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. Like, how can we make these two pair? So we were like, let's embrace that weird kind of parody. So we dressed, we went on Craigslist and we found three models and we paid them each like, I don't remember, like $50 or something.
By the way, Craigslist is amazing. We don't have it in Australia. And you literally,
it's amazing.
You post an ad for a model and you literally have 300 responses within half an hour.
You can tell you're not from America when you say Craigslist is amazing.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Oh, well, yeah, I heard about this killer or something, but like our experience has been great.
You killer could get a really good model.
Exactly. Yeah,
could get a free microwave.
It's worth the gamble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we found these three models who like weren't really models. They were just like chicks who wanted to have a fun time. Yeah. And they ended up coming and we dressed them up like head to toe in like beach gear, essentially. So they were in like bathers or what do you guys
bikinis.
Call them? Swimsuits.
Yeah, bathing suits, swimsuits.
Sunglasses, like the whole thing. Wow. And then we took them outside like the key Fashion Week venues and they just like pranced around and they played loud music and they were wearing our shoes and they were just having a super fun time.
And it was like, I don't know what, I want to say it's 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my God.
It's like 0 degrees
That'll
Celsius.
That'll do it though. That really, creates conversation.
Really cold. Yeah. And they were amazing. Like they literally danced around acting like it was the middle of summer.
Probably just to stay warm.
Yeah.
Just primal instincts.
No really. Oh yeah, we were under so many layers at the time. It was like even we were cold. But
and like the biggest expense on the day was that we hired a car and we blasted the heating. So like they would go out for 5 minutes and then they were back in the car, you know, dressing gowns on, getting like warm, and then back out
refueling.
There. And photographers loved it. And when we were doing this, like, we have no idea if these things are going to work. We don't know if we're going to get laughed out of Fashion Week.
We were like, is this offensive to Fashion Week? Like, are people going to, like, yell at us or get angry? Are we going to get, like, kicked off the street or something? And I remember, like, the first time we were walking out of the car and we were like, this is embarrassing. Like, I remember, like, instantly I was like, ugh, this doesn't feel right.
I feel like if you don't have that feeling, I feel like if you don't have the feeling of like, I'm kind of embarrassed because I don't know if it's working or not. If you don't have that feeling, I don't think you're succeeding.
If you don't show
every like new idea that it's been like, no one's ever done it before, those people had to feel some level of embarrassment, like, is this
1,000%?
And then it goes, like, then it takes off
because you're putting yourself out there and it's like so much unknown. So in those first few minutes, we were like, ew, this feels weird. And then they literally got swarmed with photographers and like it went crazy on social media.
And then like we had amazing media pick it up, like Huffington Post did an article on it and like it was literally the entire front page of the Huffington Post in Australia. Like I didn't even know that like it they put whole articles up there, let alone like something like a fashion brand launches at New York Fashion Week. But like the press and everything that came out of it was so huge.
That's awesome.
And it was totally worth that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Of course, because like what's the like worst case scenario? People are like, haha, you're stupid or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's the worst case. They wouldn't hear about it. Like we just like wouldn't have made that much of a splash. Like who cares?
Yeah. And we have so many people write to us and be like, how do I put myself out there like that? Like I'm so scared of feeling stupid. And it's like, we all do. You just push through it.
You feel stupid and you do it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's really the only difference.
Yeah. And like what we often tell people is it's so helpful to have someone else in it with you. Like, you know, when you feel stupid by yourself, like it feels probably like the feeling is more compounded. But like, you know, if I'm feeling down one day or like awkward about what we're doing, I have Steph to be like, oi, like it's fine. Like we'll be okay no matter what. And like vice versa. So that's definitely been super helpful.
Do you ever have disagreements as partners?
Nah.
No, we really
come on,
don't.
Never?
We really don't. Like,
we're connected with that twin energy, but not really real twins. But
the twin mind,
no,
but
we
not
don't.
Twin
we like energy. We don't have anything like helpful to kind of give people in that way of like, you know, what do you do if a partnership like is feeling rocky? Because we're just we're sisters and we're best friends, and I think like that kind of combination just made it super. We got lucky.
What about getting boyfriends or some shit? Because that divides people.
Getting boyfriends?
Yeah.
We usually have them. We're usually in the same like boyfriend cycle. So like we get them at the same time. We break up with them at the same time. Like it usually just
They come in, they come out. Nah, wow. But and they always like each other.
Yeah, exactly. So like we'll take them to events and then we're like, bye.
Yeah.
And like, then they can go be friends.
Yeah. They're great friends. Always great friends.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a lot of beginning YouTube days, like, or not the boyfriend thing, but the like feeling stupid at first, like back in like 2009 when we were actors, and then like we were like, oh, we're trying this YouTube thing. My actor friends were like, that's embarrassing. Like that's that's
now they're
unprofessional.
All begging to be in our videos. And guess what? No, you can't be in these videos. Fuck you.
Yeah, that's exactly what we talked about recently. That when we were starting our blog, it was 2012, and people were like, oh, Jess and Steph are starting this blog.
Like, that's so lame.
You're putting yourself out there in this weird way.
Yeah, totally. And the second that you get any kind of success, then those people are like, oh, hey, how do I start my
I'm doing an alligator handbag line. And like, nope, I'm not going to help you, bitch. I would have.
Steve, someone will help you with your alligator handbag
line. Well, I sure hope
soon.
So. I haven't heard a lot of bites today.
A lot of bites?
I don't do puns. Fuck you.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to take our first break.
Yes.
But thank you. We will be right back. And enjoy this us talking again.
And when we return, we're going to talk about all the dark side of the fashions and what you don't know, but what about the dark side?
Oh, shit.
When we return.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back to talk about
the dark side. What about the fashions?
That's not a correct sentence.
No, but that's what I see on like the E and stuff.
The dark side, what about the fashions, is what you see on E?
What about the fashions is the dark side to you guys?
What, in our experience?
Yeah.
Well, so we kind of like launched the shoe brand, but then I don't know, I guess this isn't necessarily fashion specific and maybe you guys have experienced it as well, but like we were growing really fast on Instagram and it was always like all about us in front of the camera. And in the beginning, that was really fun. And then it got really not fun anymore.
Because it becomes work.
Well, and also, like, it was just a lot of pressure for us, you know, and even, like, receiving hate on Instagram and people not liking what we were doing all the time. And it just was so much pressure on the way that we looked and how many likes we got and how many comments we got and how fast we were growing and all that stuff. We were, like, super in the social media world for a while. And in the beginning, it was fun and we liked it. And it kind of, like, opened up a lot of doors in the fashion industry and let us launch our own brand. But it was like a lot of pressure and definitely not good for either of our mental health at all.
Right.
And it's something like we love to talk about because we feel like it's not talked about often enough.
Just the hate you can get.
No, just like the pressure that you feel and like, you know, the fact that you base your worth on like likes and followers and stuff like that. And it can just start to feel not nice.
And like, you know, you think that that's going to like give you something and make you feel good about yourself. But then at the end of the day, it's really unsatisfying and it kind of does the opposite because you are like craving this like attention or whatever, you know.
Can I just say, if I was listening to this and I hadn't seen you guys yet, I would be like, God, I hope their clothes look cool because I really like them. You know what I mean? Like when they go check you out, they're probably like, oh man, these guys are so cool. I really hope that their clothes are as cool because I want to support you because you guys are dope. Like to be this forthcoming and honest about all this kind of shit.
Oh yeah, you got to be honest because like, you know, there's so much crap out there on the internet now and like so much of Instagram particularly is just
image.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's just like portraying this image and like, look how good my meal was. And then I took one bite of that and didn't eat
and
it.
And I think also like we weren't forthcoming for a long time about
it.
See. Like it took like, you know, we've been in this gig now for like 7.5 years. And like for a while, like even when we were going through this, like our way of kind of dealing with like not enjoying being on Instagram and being in front of things was to actually just like completely step away. So there was like a year and a half to 2 years where we just didn't post anything on Instagram and people were constantly writing to us like, why aren't you posting?
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was really, it made us feel sick that we weren't posting as well. Like it wasn't an acknowledged thing. It was just, should we post? Nah, too scared. Like,
don't
post.
What were you doing during that time?
Like we were running our brand. Like we were kind of still doing How to Live stuff, but like still doing the blog kind of stuff. Like working with other brands.
Hiring an intern to like capture your voice or something?
It was just more about like the type of content that we were putting out. Like, you know, now we have a podcast and we get to sit down with awesome people like you guys and have these really meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
That's epic. But at the time we were like, we don't want to take more photos of ourselves and put them out there. Like it just
seems so surface.
I get that.
Exactly.
And also like when we had this revelation and we're like, wait, this is what we could be talking about. This is the kind of content that we could be creating is like the real shit. Then we kind of like, you know, took those lemons and made them into really delicious lemonade.
Yeah.
And like now that's what we do. Like we started How to Live the podcast because we were like, we love creating content, but like let's create content that's not going to make people feel like crap about themselves and not going to make us feel like crap about ourselves.
Yeah. It's not like a comparison type of thing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I like about the podcast world too, is that it feels more collaborative. It feels like
totally
more like the roots of
it feels like early YouTube did when we first started on
100%. And it's like it hasn't gotten tainted yet, and also like you're being appreciated for what's going on inside your brains rather than what's going on the outside, which is like a really special platform that like hasn't existed in social media yet.
And it feels like people are down for things. Like we just had our friend on, Lisa, and she was talking about, she just wrote a book, and she was talking about how she sent it to like all of, you know, these people who she's known over the years, and very few people were willing to even talk about her book in the old YouTube land of things. But like in this world, it's so easy to be like, yo, go buy Lisa's book. Like she's dope. We love Lisa. In fact, go buy Lisa's book.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Like it just feels like everyone's down for things. Whereas everyone has their stick so far up their ass in the YouTube land, like usually, that it's just tougher to reach people there.
For sure. And like even opportunity wise, like it's been an awesome opportunity to like go into podcasts because like it is new and fresh and like, you know, people when like we've got these crazy people that we've been interviewing in the US because they're like, oh, a podcast, that's cool and new. Like it's like a really good
like
time
just
to get on it
that often.
Whereas like on Instagram, like we've all seen those same photos. We've all seen that same thing. Like you can't do fluff on a podcast. Like it's people are taking their time to listen to something, like they're going to really love it.
Which makes it terrifying as well. Like I remember the first few times we were podcasting. I don't know how you guys felt, but like I was fucking terrified. I was like, everyone's gonna find out that I am just like a nothing. I have nothing good to say. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not
syndrome.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge imposter syndrome. Because you're in someone's ears for like an hour. They can see straight through you.
True.
You
know, and it's like unedited. It's like in videos, you can be like, oh, I didn't like the way I said that. I'm gonna edit it out. I guess you could still do that on podcasts, but it ruins the flow of conversation to do
you
that.
You know, I was talking to a buddy about this. He was intimidated because he's trying to get into stand-up right now. And he was like, I don't even know where to begin. Like, I'm so scared. Like, all these people are so good. And I was like, don't look at it like that. I was like, who's the shittiest stand-up you ever saw? And he's like, oh, this guy, fucking Mark Springwalter or whatever. Somebody that he saw in Georgia one time. And I was like, just go be better than him. And that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's doing it. He's out there doing it, and he's fucking doing 6 nights a week or whatever. Just go be better than that guy.
That's great advice. That
is awesome
advice. I really like that.
Thank
and
you.
We also talk about that like, the difference between, like, somebody that's successful and someone that's not sometimes is literally just that you did it and that other person didn't.
Exactly.
Like, people always say to us, like, oh, whoa, like, I wish I could do
what
you guys do.
What's the key to success?
And we're like,
just
oh, we
do
just
something
do
every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be like, willing to, like, fail. Like, accept the possibility of failure.
But so many people are like, I got to go be better than that legend. And I'm like, you don't.
But yes. And then they never do anything because they're, like, so frozen with this fear rather than just, like, putting it out there. Like, now when we look at our first blog post or our first shoes that we created, we're like, those are terrible.
Shocking.
Like,
it's fun to look back on.
Yeah,
because
like,
you see how far you've come.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're always improving, and you've just got to, like, put it out there at one point, and then you'll improve later.
I actually feel bad for the people that look back and go, that was my best work 6 years ago. I can't top that.
True. I hate all my shit from all of you.
Same.
Usually.
Yeah, you don't want that at all.
As you grow and evolve as
a artist. Or I nitpick it or whatever. Yeah. It's not as fun.
Yeah, totally. But I guess that's, like, just looking up to somebody, and it's good to have that, like, that kind of, like, North Star or like that comedian that you really do look up to that one day you can aspire to be that. But tomorrow you're probably not going to be as good, but you're taking the right steps.
Right. And you have to have like 10,000 hours or something to master it or you
know, so
you heard
true.
That? Yeah.
When we listen to our first podcast interviews now, we're like,
terrible.
Oh God, so
we didn't
cringe.
The first podcast episode we ever did, we didn't say anything. Like we
don't
had,
listen to that one, everybody.
We
got
someone,
nothing for you.
We're not telling
no,
you which one it is.
Okay.
Or listen to it.
It was
like,
oh, there you go.
Okay, episode because our guest was so amazing and added so much value. But like, we just sat there like.
It was actually because like we got so in our heads about it, and rather than just being like, let's sit down and have a conversation and like, how do we want this podcast to feel, we asked, like, we were googling for so long, like, okay, what are the secrets to interviewing someone, and everybody just kept saying, just listen and let them talk. So we literally did that.
We took it too literally.
Yeah. But then we like aired it later in the season, so you can't tell which one it is, but we had good feedback on it.
Nice.
And that's a thing, like, often you're just really hard on yourself.
True.
But other people can't
That's
tell.
This chick, man. This chick's hard on herself as fuck.
Don't tell everybody that.
Oh, okay. I want everyone to know that Nick's very hard on herself. And no, and I'm hard on myself, but in a different way. I usually don't watch myself back. And then I don't have to worry about it as much, right? Like, I usually remember what I did wrong, and I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, I hated that part. But then I let it go, and I'm like,
and
I don't watch it back.
My memory, I don't watch it back either, but my memory is always, I just remember the parts that I feel like I did poorly on, and then I just think that was the whole thing. Like, I was like, oh, I
Same.
Just fucked it up.
Yeah.
I also do that. And
that
it's like,
makes
you could
so
have,
much sense.
Yeah, you could have like an hour interview that went so well, and then there was like 3 minutes where you said the wrong thing. And then afterwards, you just
like,
feel
oh,
that.
That was a disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then how do you like something enough, like a pair of shoes, where you're like, this is a permanent pair of shoes. You cannot alter, change them, whatever. Like, we're putting this out in the world and we have to like them the whole time. How do you do that?
Well, we're constantly changing our shoes as well. Like, now when we look at our first collections, we're like, ugh, terrible.
Yeah.
You know, but like, you just kind of keep going with it. You take feedback on, like, that's so important.
It's just so final, right? Like, because you're like, this is done and it's finished.
We don't see it like that.
That's
like,
great,
you know,
though. That's
you,
good.
You have stock.
That helps people.
You have stock, and then once it sells out, or you know, you do a new run of a different product. It's
yeah,
like,
and I think also with things like that, like in our experience, I remember we used to ask so many people for advice and be like, which ones do you like? Like, which one, you know, if you were going to buy one, which one would it be? And like, that is terrible. Like, don't do that. You know, it's like, we've learned that it's all about trusting your gut. You know, like, you've just got to like feel that. And once you have too much noise and too many opinions, like, that's when it really gets
crazy. How do you sell something you don't like? That's so hard.
Yeah.
I've tried it. It's so fucking hard to sell something you don't like.
Yeah,
like,
we've done that. Like, we've definitely sold things we don't like. We
I
don't
we all
do
have.
That anymore.
It's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
But you learn from that.
Yes.
You learn from that feeling of being like, ooh, I really sacrificed who I am and what I wanted to say for like what other people liked and or I thought other people would like and what's trending. And then you go, I'm never going to do that again.
Oh, so, totally. When we think someone's going to like something, it's never the thing that does the best. Like when we're like, oh, we love this, but they'll love that.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
always does.
Wrong.
Better
we're
you know like
wrong.
Every tuber that
That's
I know
so
who's done a video is always like, my favorite video has the least amount of views, my least favorite video has the most.
Oh really?
It's that
really?
Same kind of shit. Yeah, same kind
that's
of thing.
So interesting.
But for those of you listening out there, I think that this is great advice where it's like, say you're a painter, whatever the fuck, you're doing something that seems semi-permanent, like if you like it, then that's good enough. Like I think,
but they were saying the opposite, that the ones that they go with their gut on do better. than the
No, but that's what I'm saying. They it goes with their gut. They like it enough. Like they whatever that is, they made it. They like it.
Well, and I think also like ultimately it's like, why are you doing something? Like, are you doing it to get approval from other people, or are you doing it because you love it? Like, we want to put shoes out into the world that we really love and feel good about. Like, sure, we could put out a bunch of gray black crap that people would probably buy, but like that doesn't excite me. That doesn't make me feel good. You know, I want to do stuff that's cool and that gets me excited.
Like a wrinkled shoe.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
that you can throw
we'll note the request.
we used to have shoes like when we our first collection you could wash. Like you could like put machine in the washing washable. Machine and we thought that it was so cool and then no one liked it.
Well, and then we spoke to our customers and we're like, so what are you loving about the shoes? And they were like, comfort. So then we're like, okay, fuck
we
the
were
machine
like, what
wash.
About the fact that you can wash them? And they were like, oh, I haven't done that. Don't care. Yeah. And they were like, oh, okay, no.
I used to think that was cool about my Converse, my Chucks.
Yeah,
back in high school.
You can wash them.
Like, you can wash them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
like,
though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can.
You can.
My mom used to do that, and it was a pain in the ass. You could hear it through the whole house.
Yeah, for sure.
It's in the dryer. Yeah. It's like, don, da, don, da, don.
Yeah. But you can do it.
Right.
But do you know what we came up with instead? We have this spray called Protecty Stuff, and you can protect your shoes.
It's called Protecty Stuff?
Yeah, we called it Protecty Stuff.
We call everything silly.
And you spray them on your shoes, and then you don't have to wash them. So there's always a workaround, you know? Like, they didn't need to be machine washable. No.
You could have saved me thousands of dollars on shoes, man.
You could put them on
Scotch
anything.
Guard?
Yeah. Like,
it's just like this special spray that we found that like someone
stuff.
Makes down the road from us in our office
he
in Melbourne.
He was making them for couches and then we were like, can you make them for shoes? And he was like, sure. So now we have this like stuff
tubes
that you can use.
Stuff.
It's
that's
amazing.
Fun.
Like I tried it. I spilled a latte on my shoes just to check like a really light colored pair.
Yeah.
It came off completely. It's like
that's
magic.
Awesome.
It
falls right off.
Yeah.
Quit
dude,
everything you're
that.
Doing and sell this shit.
Yeah,
this is incredible.
Like, with your reaction to this, I'm like, whoa,
I'm
Protecty
quit
Stuff
everything.
Is amazing.
I'm going to go buy this guy's company. I'm going to fucking
I just have a flashback to like 2 weeks ago. I dressed up nice for an event. And of course, like the one time I dress up nice is when I spill, I forget what I spilled. It was like a spaghetti sauce or something on my, like on the this corner of my shoe. And it's very visible. And that's like a nice one of my only nice pairs of shoes.
She's
and it's
very
there
sloppy.
Forever.
Yeah.
She's
and
very
I never
spilled
on any other shoes. But the, just that one time and so I wasn't annoying. Even eating, I was just trying to clean up really quick before we left for the event. And
just you're just
you
eating
need
a handful of spaghetti.
Stuff.
Needed the well, there was like something on the counter was like some sort of
you got some
sauce.
Grab and go spaghetti and it ended up on your dress.
Yeah, totes. That's what happened.
Yeah. You said marinara.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I can't remember. It might have been like olive juice or some shit.
You that know? Sounds like you.
Yeah. But it left a stain.
I understand.
I don't remember what it was, but I remember how it made me feel.
I completely understand.
Was it a red stain?
Maya Angelou. It was not. It like became, like, you know when water hits an article of clothing, it just goes like as a round dot?
Mm.
But then water disappears. Well, this thing, it just stayed that like darker dot.
Oh, like oil.
Point being,
yeah,
with your
like
miracle
oil.
Product,
oh,
that would have slid right
that's
off of her.
True. Exactly.
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That should be everywhere. Why doesn't everyone know about this shit? What's it called? How do I get this?
Tubes.com.
It's literally tubes.com. Called Protecty Stuff.
Yeah. That's what they
well,
they named
I didn't
their
know.
Things
I thought
silly.
That was a bit.
They said they named their things silly. Why
I thought that
listen?
They literally named their things silly.
Podcasting is listening.
I thought it was
so
a
show. Listen.
No, I was listening. I thought it was literally they call everything silly. So I was like, okay, everything's called silly. All right.
Oh no, it's not silly. It's called Protecty Stuff.
Like we have sneakers, and we were like, well, we can't just call them sneakers, so they're our sneaky.
See,
pretty
I
cute.
Do you call them sneakers, like that?
Sneakers.
Do you spell them like sneakers, or do you spell
yes,
them?
Sneakers.
That's how they pronounce their R's.
Oh, I don't genuinely know.
Steve?
Oh, sorry.
I'm asking.
Sneakers.
You don't be sorry. I'm sorry. You don't be sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
He's like, so I just leave the R off then.
No, I thought it was like Snickers, like
oh,
a candy
sneakers.
Bar.
Oh,
sneakers.
I see.
That's a good accent.
Really nice.
That's really good.
Thanks.
That was some Christian Bale shit.
Like,
well, we grew up watching American TV and American movies in Australia. So like we come over here and we already like know everything. We get how it works.
It doesn't feel like when you guys come to Australia.
That's true.
For us, it feels very normal.
When I was in
why
New Zealand,
never come to Australia?
It
seems very deadly
first
there.
Of all, do you have the thing like in New Zealand where you drive on the wrong side of the road with side of the steering wheel and everything?
We hired a car the other day and I was literally driving through LA on the left side of the road and then I was like, whoops.
Yep, did that a few times.
Yeah.
New Zealand less crowded than LA.
Yeah.
So congrats to you for
this.
Okay.
More visible.
Yeah. but so I was listening to the radio while I was driving and they were the radio people were like, yeah, all these kids are having American accents because, and we're like, where did you hear that from? And because they get it from the TV. And so they just start talking like the people on TV.
Hilarious. So
Australians always say to us, they're like, oh, you're from America. Like, oh, did you used to live in America? Because we, for you guys, you think we sound super Aussie.
Yes.
But to Aussies, they think we sound American.
Yeah. We don't belong anywhere. It's
That's
very sad.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And we always tell them it's because we watch too much TV growing up. But that is a lie.
That's like when people in Texas or like, you know, one of the southern states, they're like, oh, you have a California accent. And I'm like, I talk like the people on TV, okay? You have the accent.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah. We said that when we got to LA. We're like, they just like so neutral here because it's like what we're used to hearing.
Yeah, yeah, it's TV.
We are the standard. TV we are the modern transatlantic accent.
I just think we sound clear, frankly. I think everyone else sounds a little confusing.
You pronounce your
ahs. It depends. There's different parts of California, too. Like the beach towns are like, yeah, so like you're gonna go. They like more slurry, man. And then like in the valley, it's like, oh my god, like I was going to the sushi place.
And it actually is like that. That's not even a stereotype.
And then like
I love the valley accent.
Nikki's cousin sounds exactly like that,
and she's a lawyer.
Are we in the valley right now?
We are.
Oh.
You did it.
So
you
where's your
valley
accents, guys?
Well, I'm originally from a beach town, so I'm a little bit, I'm like confused.
Well, why are you speaking slower?
See, I had to speed it up for the valley people, and now I just sound weird. And I don't fit either. Like,
I'm
the valley people are like, you're from a beach town. The beach people are like, you're from the valley.
You can come join us in the like land of
the little nomads land of accents.
I just think she looks Mexican.
Sure.
But she doesn't. Yeah. But she isn't.
I'm Filipino, French, Russian, but I don't belong in any of those categories either.
We're also French.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hey. Get on in the club, Steve.
I thought you were Australian.
We are,
but our dads.
We were born in Australia.
You can have ethnicities and nationalities. Do you understand this?
Don't try to trick me.
So our dads, actually, well, we're Moroccan. Like, our dad was born in Morocco, but then he grew up in France.
Yeah.
So like.
French Moroccan.
French Moroccan.
Okay. That's kind of like how my white side is. So the Russian part, they were from Russia, like ethnicity-wise, they're from Russia, but they were living in China the whole time. So they immigrated from China, even though they're Russian.
Oh, that's
very
confusing.
And now they're confusing. So now they're American immigrants that are Russian from China.
Just like via China.
Well, my family immigrated from Florida.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That is like a separate
Tallahassee.
Country.
Tallahassee.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
That's why he talks about killing gators all the time, apparently.
I do like to kill gators.
Right.
We'll get into that.
More fashion.
We'll
so now, like, do you mostly work on the fashion, the shoes, the twoobs, or do you mostly work on the blog or the podcast, or is it all kind of just intertwined? And
so, yeah, now we kind of do a bit of both. We were like, we really, for a while, we were just doing the shoes and we weren't really focusing on creating content, but like there was like this creative kind of different content creation side of us that we were like really wanted to let out. And we like, we really care about a lot of stuff. Like, you know, we mentioned animals earlier, and the environment, and also like female empowerment is something that we're super focused on. So we were doing all this stuff with our shoes and we were like, wow, podcasting would be such a cool platform where we can actually talk about the shit that we care about.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to tell people you care about stuff just on Instagram.
Sure, because the captions, I need me to be like this short, but like on a podcast, you get a whole hour
exactly.
to talk about how passionate you are.
So like that, yeah, like we love fashion, but I think like what really gets us going is like all the other stuff, the kind of like the values behind it.
Well, it's kind of infused into the fashion, right? Because like
you, sure.
you're environmentalist, animal activism, and then you put that into your pieces.
It definitely is. Like it was in tubes already, but we're the kind of people that are like never satisfied with one thing. We're like, we have to be doing all of it.
That sounds like me too.
And also like we like to have fun, you know, like as in having a podcast is so much fun.
It
we get
is.
To have these meaningful conversations, but they're also super fun. Every single podcast recording that we've done since we got to the US,
it's true.
We've somehow like made a whole day of it because we've gone to like some random town and then we found some cute bakery after. And at the end of every single day, Jess turns to me and she's like, I would have paid for that experience.
Yeah, like we've had the craziest experience. Like, okay, so for example, like I don't know how often you guys go to New York or if you know what Levain cookies
are. Every 3 months.
I
go there sometimes just to get a steak and go home.
Okay, wait. If you don't know what Levain cookies are, though,
no,
you
I
have
don't.
To try them. You can mail a lot of them.
Okay, you can mail a lot of them from here. But
what?
So they're these big, fat, ginormous chocolate chip cookies. They're
chip
huge.
Cookies.
And so they're our favorite cookies. We've been such fans for such a long time. And we went. We got like a tour of their bakery and then we got to sit down with the founders for like 2 hours and just talk to them.
How did you scam that?
During the interview, they gave us 4 cookies to
They're
eat.
Good.
And then when we left, they gave us 8 cookies to take home with
what?
Us. We would have paid for the experience. It was amazing.
And you just talked your way in. You're like, hey, where are we doing?
See,
thing?
Talk about like you always that's talk great. About like wanting to do this shit, but yeah. you're like, you know, there are actually people that can.
There
well,
you go.
Work
you
the
just
got
to take
yeah.
action.
I'll
you
go
just
next
got to
I'm a jet setter. I'm there all the time. I'll
You'll
go.
Do it.
I'll
yes.
go to
yeah,
Laverne's.
Sure.
What's it called?
Levain.
Okay. I used to go to Mickey's Cookies.
So they're
there.
Like chocolate chip cookies?
That their classic one is chocolate chip walnut. So yum. But also their chocolate is amazing. And their chocolate peanut butter.
What if I'm not
really
a cookie
good.
Guy? I'm not really a cookie guy.
It's a bakery, but no, you got to go for the cookies.
The
you
reason that
you'll be into these cookies.
Like, what do you mean you don't like cookies?
I'm not a cookie guy. I've never been what? A cookie guy. Not
what are
a
you talking
person.
About?
You're not from a cookie person.
You live in LA, person. You have to be cookie people. Fun
I
fact about Australia, we don't understand chocolate chip cookies. No one does them there.
What?
Yeah. Like, you can get, like, a packeted chocolate chip cookie.
You can
cookie.
Get them in the supermarket.
We have this
trying to survive.
Well, that's not the same.
No, exactly.
You're getting fresh baked chocolate chip cookies.
We've been campaigning for somebody to start this business in Australia.
Do you know what has actually been, and I'm not even kidding you, okay, my favorite chocolate chip cookie that I've ever made, I made, so I have a cooking format that I do on my channel, and it's plant-based cooking, so you might
cool.
dig it.
Amazing.
But so I try like random weird recipes sometimes, and there was this one where it was like, you can make chocolate chip cookies out of chickpeas. So I did that, and it was so good. Like,
oh my God,
just,
so
it's forever soft.
Was it cookie dough that you ate, or you actually cooked
it? I
them?
Actually cooked it, oh. yeah.
We've only done it before, but raw. So like cookie dough
I've done
raw,
that too.
But with chickpeas.
Also I did good. Eat most of the cookie dough before I baked it.
Yeah. It
but
always happens.
Then I tried a different recipe that was just for the cookie dough to eat, and it tasted way different. But I actually preferred the one for the cookie because, you know what? It had a baking soda flavor to it, which I know you don't need if you're not going to actually bake them. But I kind of enjoyed that like little
it's
extra.
Important. Totally. It's authentic.
Flavor. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you guys
yeah.
like pudding? I'm a, kind of a pudding guy.
Okay.
Pudding's not big in
pudding
Australia.
Pudding does not exist in Australia.
No.
Oh,
not
talk to me about what pudding is, and I'll tell you whether we like it.
It's like yogurt.
Pudding pops.
You ever had yogurt?
Wait, is yeah. it like in a yogurt tub?
It's
yeah,
in a yogurt
that's what
tub.
They call pudding.
Yeah,
oh, they call
like
pudding
a pudding cup.
Yogurt. It's not yogurt.
No, we have
it's
yogurt.
It's completely different
yo.
Than yogurt.
Yogo.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
That sounds made up.
It's chocolate-flavored yogurt, right?
Sweet.
Basically.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you know in American movies when they have like a pudding cup.
Description.
Listen, nobody yeah, yes. knows okay, what pudding we is. We just that. Know that it looks like, if I see it, I'm like, that's pudding.
We
nobody knows
that.
What it is.
It's like, you know tapioca?
Nobody makes it.
No.
We like chocolate mousse.
Mousse
is good.
Okay, it's similar to that, but yeah. more slimy.
Yeah, yeah. We call it
yogurt. I recommend
yogurt.
It. Melt okay. in your mouth because it's already melted. It's pre-melted.
We only call it yogurt because it's the
that's
one
brand
that does it, but
yeah,
it's
exactly.
not the same. Theirs is like darker and chocolatey. Our yogurt
yeah, totally.
Is like
yeah.
quite subtle.
They used to do it at our school canteen. That's how I know what it is. Because ah. yeah, we would
no,
have like
it's
cups
not around.
Of pudding.
There's a great man, great comedian named Bill Cosby who got me into pudding. and you should check it out. It's really nice.
Is he a great man though?
You're well, winning today.
When I was a kid, he was a great man, and so to, I like to be nostalgic.
Man. Yeah.
And remember him as such.
Right.
Oh, and yeah. he like said that whole thing about the pudding. I remember.
Yeah.
He loves pudding.
He's a very wholesome man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves certain kinds of pills as well, but we won't get into that.
Well, what?
Excuse me.
Oh, okay. You brought it up.
But I'm not a real desserts guy. So I would like to skip.
So you're not even allowed to have part in this conversation.
No, I'd like
yeah.
to skip out.
Your
like
opinions
skip.
Are invalid now.
What do you like about, like, what savory food?
He's so boring.
I like salty foods. No, I'm going to make this interesting. Are you ready?
Boring.
I really enjoy Mexican
enchiladas.
Enchiladas.
Okay.
It's my favorite
he does
food.
Like enchiladas.
What do you think of that? What do you think about that?
We don't have heaps of Mexican food in Australia, so I feel like enchiladas don't extend. We have like
we
burritos,
have
tacos.
It's
yeah,
like burritos
nachos.
That are all lined up together in a pan in a casserole dish.
Okay.
Are they rolled?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen them before.
Yes.
I don't know because they're covered in cheese. I can't tell.
Oh, yeah. The cheese. Yeah. Oh, you know what you guys have here that we love that we don't have in Australia is like queso, like the cheese
oh,
sauce.
The cheese. Queso,
yeah.
delicious. Nice. Huh. Very good.
I love queso.
Mm, very good.
That's the food of my people.
I don't do dairy anymore.
Oh, no dairy?
No dairy. Yeah, I did.
I do all the dairy
I did
for
a food
her. I doubled all my dairy
test
since she
with
went
Everly Well. I don't know if that spot went up today, but with Everly Well, it said, yeah, you're very. Very sensitive to dairy.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, like
Steph
it gives
really
you a list.
To do that.
Yeah.
Test.
Does it give you a list of what foods you can eat and what
yeah.
you can't? Oh, that sounds so cool.
Oh, and as animal lovers, you know, if you've seen any dairy documentaries, but
oh yeah,
oh yeah, yeah. Conspiracy. Yeah, yeah.
It gives you a list of all the foods that you can now complain about to a waiter or waitress, and they have to go.
Yeah,
okay,
love that. Like,
yeah,
look
thanks.
At all the foods I'm sensitive to.
We should all yeah. just like carry around like a card around our neck with like which ones we're good and bad with, and then they can just read
yeah.
it just to save all the conversation.
Exactly.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. Like, oh, they
mine
took a
was
deep
like
breath.
Overwhelmingly dairy, even though I've never felt lactose intolerant or like like that, you know, in the stomach way. I felt nauseous after eating dairy before, but not like, you know, had to throw up or anything like that. Yeah, but like it was overwhelmingly dairy and then like a little bit garlic, mushrooms, like things that you wouldn't think.
Wait, but like, so if you don't feel bad when you eat dairy, but then like this test told you that you...
Well, I felt nauseous all the time. So I hadn't eaten dairy really. Like when I was a kid, I used to pick the cheese off of pizza. I didn't like ice cream. I didn't eat butter. I didn't eat like any, like I hated milk. I hated all of that because it made me, and the only way I could describe it to my mom was that it gave me a headache. Yeah. It just, it didn't really give me a headache.
Doesn't
it made
agree
me
with you.
Completely feel like my body was underwater.
I feel like those tests are accurate. Like it's something.
I know,
that,
but I thought she meant that she didn't feel anything. Yeah, but then like, the test said so. So now she doesn't.
Well, yeah. I haven't had dairy in like so long that I was like, oh yeah, I guess I am. I guess I am sensitive to it, but also I always hated it. I after I went through puberty, I tried to make myself like it because I was like, oh, like. Cheese
Wait,
could
what
taste good.
What kind of connection
I don't know,
is that?
Well, because after I went to puberty.
What kind of connection is that? I don't know that.
Hormonally, I started craving more like rich, like creamy, richer like foods like chocolate and like ice cream and cheeses and stuff.
I see.
And I had never craved that sort of thing before.
Mm,
and so I tried to like incorporate that into my diet. But then I was like, oh, like only during this 1 week of the month do I crave it. And then other weeks I don't.
Oh, yeah, for that week, I crave a lot of shit.
Yeah.
What made you guys look at each other and go, we care about animals? Is there a moment? Is there a realization?
Like you,
are you looking for your moment?
Some people care more than others. I'm just saying.
So, like, we, like, just on a basic level, like, grew up with dogs and cats and, like, loved those always. And then I think we just, like, started to realize, like, started to kind of make the connection between the things that were on our plate and, like, the things that we really loved and thought were cute. Like, cows are, like, one of my favorite animals. Like, they're adorable. Like, I just want to kiss their little nose. It's so cute. And then when I think, like, so many people that eat meat, they don't, like, make the connection between, like, that animal and what's on your plate.
I don't. It's in a package.
Yeah,
it's on our
and
plate.
I was the exact same way. And it wasn't until I kind of, I like, said to myself, if I love that animal, and I don't want to eat it, so I need to like actually make the connection between my plate and what's in front of me. But I know that's not for everyone, but that's how, in my experience.
Yeah. Is it similar for you?
Yeah, same. I mean, like fashion. I think also like when you're around people that care about it, like it's a little bit contagious. Like it's really easy to not think about it if everyone around you is eating meat all the time. And then like I think Jess cut out meat like a couple years before I did. And so like then when constantly have someone being like, I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to eat, you know, like,
that's
and then
true.
Like when I stopped eating meat, then like, you know, our boyfriends were also like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about it. That like when I stopped and then our mom and you were eating way less and then our boyfriends and it's kind of like it catches on.
Yeah, they made it way easier. And I'm sure Australia is the same, but in LA too, they made it way easier to stop eating meat too.
Totally. Because... And now with all the delicious fake meat, I don't even care. Like last night I had a burger and I had to ask the waiter. I called him over and I was like, I ordered the vegetarian burger. This is not vegetarian. He's like, no, it is. I was like, okay, it's fucking amazing. It tastes exactly like meat. You don't even know anymore.
Yeah, and then people are like, well, how come you want to taste meat if you're so into like not eating meat? But then it's like, oh, well, we like still like the flavor.
It's
delicious.
Good,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like it. I just don't want to kill anything.
Right. And if everyone had access to like this kind of food that tasted unbelievable and you can't really tell the difference, then like as if everyone's not going to be choosing that food.
The other day, like my favorite food is bolognese. And
I love it.
It's fucking delicious. And I've been... Like, I haven't eaten meat in, like, 7.5 years or something like that. And then the other day, like, 3 nights ago here, I ordered the plant-based bolognese off the menu. It was my first time tasting bolognese in 7.5 years. I almost cried.
That's so
funny. It was
beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, here, especially
it's amazing.
In the Valley, there's a lot of, like, really amazing vegan restaurants that, like, have, like, vegan chefs that are like, you will not taste the difference.
It's incredible.
I still can taste some differences, but there's so many dishes that are so close that it doesn't, it's like a wash.
I would say the fake meats are better than the fake cheeses. Like,
yeah,
the
exactly.
Cheeses
the
cheeses,
fake cheeses
are
gross.
Armpits,
well,
so.
And like, we're not vegan, so like, we'll eat cheese.
Yeah,
and then with the fashion, like, it started with food, like the way the movement is so big here with food. And I feel like the fashion's going to follow. Like,
and ketchup.
A few years ago when we started this animal friendly shoe label and we would tell people our shoes were vegan or if we would like advertise that in
like
our
that
Facebook
was a dirty
ads,
word.
People would write to us being like, oh, lol, can I eat it? Like, why is it vegan? They didn't get it at all. And now in 3 years, like Melbourne, where we're from, is really leading the vegan fashion scene. And there's like so many cool labels that you can
like
get.
Stella like McCartney. They have a really
amazing.
Yeah. Totally. Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like it's going to hit the US. It's just like the way the vegan food's going to has like, exploded.
It's in Burger King now. It's hitting.
Yeah.
The wave is cresting.
Carl's Jr., all that.
Exactly.
But like, people have already stopped. Like, fur is like kind of naughty now. You know, like people don't Super. Really like, people kind of look down on fur now.
Oh,
where
yeah.
It used to be like, what are you talking about? I can't wear my fur.
Oh, we were walking into London Fashion Week a couple of years ago and we were like, you know, we'd flown over there. We were ready to go to a show and we're walking in and we're like, what's going on? What's this commotion? And we realized there were people protesting outside anti-fur, like ban fur at London Fashion Week. And we were like,
so we're like, screw Fashion Week, we're not going. And so we like grabbed picket thingies and we like got in line and we were like fully protesting and we like blew off like the three shows we had to go to that day and just like joined the protest.
And then fur got banned at London Fashion Week that year. So like now they don't do it anymore.
It's already kind of evolving that
way.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing is like, why just fur? Like if everybody's like so outraged about fur while they're in with their leather handbags, like what's the difference?
It's because minks are cuter than cows.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Eventually cows might be.
Yeah, I think it's just like it all steps in the right direction. And I think like the more we like have these open conversations and kind of like educate people about it, the more people are willing to get on board.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I can't believe an hour flew by already.
I know.
It's crazy.
Particularly the last half hour. Very quick.
Thank you for being real with us. We love
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
guys.
Very cool.
Thanks
and,
for having
and
us.
And I definitely can't wait to wear your shoes because I'm all about it. Like when you showed me them, like, those are the kind of shoes I wear every day.
Yeah. Epic. Okay.
Amazing. So
where
good.
Can they find you?
So you can find us at How to Live the Podcast.
And two is spelled T-W-O. How to
the
live.
The number.
And our shoes are Tubes. T-W-O-O-B-S. You can get them at tubes.com.
Perfect.
And we like to do a thing called Final Thought, where we give a final thought at the end of the show.
That kind of wraps it up.
What's your final thoughts?
On you,
just
on
like
us,
like
on
anything. Two-sentence type of
like
hey.
Sum it on up for
you. My thoughts are, okay, I needed to pee so hardcore when I got in this room, mm-hmm. and I forgot about it for last hour. That's how interesting this conversation was.
Agreed.
That is a good thought. My thought is, my body really hurts, and I'm really excited because we're going to get a massage after this.
Wow, oh, both fun. Physical.
Yeah.
Last final thoughts.
Yeah.
Mine is, hey, go out there and bail. I feel like that's been a final thought of mine before.
Yeah, it has. You're
but, born. Yeah, like, I mean, don't be, like, think of worst case scenario and then be like, oh, that's not that bad, and then just do it anyway.
My final thought is, we were talking about earlier about the feeling of embarrassment of doing something for the first time, where, like, you step out for the first time doing something that people consider weird.
Yeah.
And I think back to, like, the first person who, like, you know, wore a chinchilla coat and, like, they're stepping out and people are like, wow, that's kind of weird. But they stood up and they're like, I like this coat. And, like, I just think that that's brave and I think that that's kind of beautiful.
Stupid.
Way to end it. Thank you.
Stupid.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, thank guys. You. Go rate us on iTunes and we'll see you next time. Bye.
And go check them out. Thank you.
We have links in the description for them. Yes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.